to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. I'm going to read several portions of Scripture. We'll begin with Exodus 14, verse 31 through chapter 15, verse 3. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And this song continues down through verse 21, and then we come to verse 22, and we want to read from there into verse 4 of chapter 16. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it is called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Going into chapter 16, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, in the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And then in chapter 17, first 3 verses. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Throughout Scripture, Israel, of course, serves as a type of God's people. And perhaps more so in the book of Exodus than any other place. And in these verses that we've just read, there's a wide range of events, there's a wide range of circumstances and experiences. And from chapter 16, verse 1, we see that all of this happened in a month's time. All happened in a month's time. From chapter 14, verse 31, through chapter 15, verse 21, we see Israel in a place of bliss. And from there, verse 22, they go to a place of no water. And a place of barrenness. They go to verse 23, a place of bitterness. And from there they go again to a place of bliss. And from there, that place of bliss, chapter 16, they go into another place of barrenness. And God would feed them with bread, and now all of a sudden it's bliss again. And then in chapter 17, they go into a place of lack and place of no water. God provides water, and once again they're in a place of bliss. And you see this pattern all through their wilderness wanderings. And that pattern presents a failure on Israel's part. They did not carry over. When they were in a place of bliss and blessing, they did not carry that over into the place of barrenness, into the place of bitterness. And that is a prevailing problem amongst God's people. Always has been. Israel had this propensity to become their surroundings. They became their surroundings over and over and over again. What that means is that they were governed by their circumstances. And they failed to learn from their circumstances and their experiences. I want to speak this morning on the effective use of the events, circumstances, and experiences of life. Our text verses record some events that occurred during the journey of Israel. And though the journey took place externally, we must realize that there is an internal, an inward aspect as well. So let's look first of all at the bliss of the salvation experience. The book of Exodus, of course, opens with the children of Israel in Egyptian bondage, which of course is a type of the cruel bondage and oppression that the unsaved sinner that we were in as an unsaved sinner and that the unsaved sinner is in even now. God raised up a deliverer in Moses, and he becomes a type of Christ. Not a perfect type. There is no perfect type of Christ. In Exodus 12, that we see the blood of the Passover lamb slain for his people. And in Exodus 14, God, through Moses, miraculously brings Israel to the banks of the Red Sea. Pharaoh's armies are in pursuit, and by the almighty power of God, Moses would stretch forth his rod. God rolls back the waters, and Israel crosses over on dry ground. And when the last Israelite crosses over, Moses again stretches forth his rod, and God lets go of the waters, and Pharaoh and his mighty army were swallowed up. This was a victory. This was a time of bliss. For Israel to escape the land of Egypt was a powerful manifestation of the miraculous power of Almighty God. And they saw it with their own eyes. Again, this is a type, it's a shadow, it's an outline of the salvation of a soul. You and I that have been saved, we have experienced something greater than the type. Something greater than the crossing of the Red Sea. And we have been liberated and released from a bondage far worse than Egyptian bondage. We have been loose from a power and grip of far more fierce and cruel than that of Pharaoh. So following this miraculous exodus, we read in Exodus 14:31, and Israel saw that great work. They saw it with their own eyes, that the Lord did upon the Egyptians, And the people feared the Lord. They had a reverence for God. And they believed the Lord. And they believed His servant, Moses. Oh, that they could have carried that over into the wilderness of Shur. But they didn't. We see also in Exodus 15, there's a scene of euphoria. Their hearts are bursting with awe and reverence and thankfulness and passion and desire to glorify and to honor God. And they break forth with song. And you can read through that song. It's all to the glory of God. And they're singing the praises of God. Again, here is a people who have personally experienced, they have personally witnessed the miraculous power of God. Have not we several times in our lives, not just at salvation, but time and time and time again, we have witnessed the power of God. And it brings us to this place of euphoria. It brings us to this place of bliss. But then we read in verse 22 of Exodus 15, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And oh, that they could have carried with them what we read in Exodus 14:31 and what we read in Exodus 15 verses 1 through 21. If they would have just carried that with them, things would have been a lot different. But they didn't. And we don't either many times. So they get into this wilderness of Shur. A place of great uncertainty. A very unsettled place. They went out into the wilderness. A place where there's all kinds of pitfalls. A place where there's all kinds of snags. All kinds of complications. All kinds of stumbling blocks. A place where there's one obstacle after another. They went out into the wilderness. It's a place of dilemma. It's a place of trouble. It's a place of distress and difficulty. It can be a place of annoyance. It can be a place of disturbance. They went out into the wilderness. Place of suffering. Place of anguish. Place of grief. Place of heartache. Place of pain. And affliction. They are a people that have been gloriously redeemed, miraculously delivered. And they are, by the mercy and grace of God, the very people of God. And that did not exempt them from this journey into the wilderness. And we're not exempt either. We're going to have to go through the wilderness. But what a difference just witnessed and God and experience God defeating their enemy. God burying their past. And here they are. A people with a new position in life. And they externally enter this wilderness of Shur. But they do not carry with them internally what they experienced back in Exodus 14. And 15. They need to carry with them that awe, that reverence that they felt in Exodus 14:31. So there they are, a place of bliss. Now they go into the wilderness. And in verse 22, they went 3 days in the wilderness. For 3 days. They have been walking in the sand. They no doubt are tired. And it's becoming more and more difficult for them to pick up their feet in this sand. And then we read, and found no water. Just 3 days ago, they had witnessed the miraculous power of God involving what? Water. And now they found no water. They needed water. They needed water individually. They needed water for their animals. And they're in desperate search for water. But we read they found no water. Now, had they carried over Exodus 14:31, they would have been saying, God will supply. God will provide water. We don't have anything to worry about. God will provide. That's not what happened. Because what happened three days ago is like it never happened. We're very much like that. So they found no water. They are in peril. And I imagine as they journey with no water, that eventually their walk became a stagger and stumbling. And after 3 days, I imagine the desert sun is glistening in the distance off of a pool of water, and someone says, hey, there's water up there! And their strength is suddenly revived. And their pace picks up. As they're thinking in their minds, there's water! There's relief up ahead! And they're weary and they're parched and in desperate need. And I imagine they're thinking, oh, how good that water is going to taste. How refreshing that water is going to be. And the anticipation is building. And they arrive at this water. And they fall down. And someone laps the water and spits it out. Water was undrinkable. Undrinkable. And all their hopes have been dashed. Disappointment rolls over them. The anticipation that they had been feeling at the thought of water has now turned to frustration. And there they are. They're in a barren place. They're in a desolate place. They're tired. They're thirsty. They are in desperate need of water. And there's water right there. But it's undrinkable. It's undrinkable. 3 days ago, these very same people were standing victoriously on the shore of the Red Sea. Oh, how quickly things can change. 3 days. Again, being the people of God did not exempt them from this place called Marah. And it doesn't exempt us either. But only if they had carried over Exodus 14:31 into Marah. Marah would have been different. Everything would have been different had they just carried that over. And we read in verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses. What shall we drink? What are we going to do now, Moses? You've brought us out here. Now what are we going to do? 3 days. Between euphoria and murmuring. I believe that they probably began their murmuring during that 3 day time as they walked through the sand. And the people murmured against Moses. What has happened? They have lost their perspective of what just happened 3 days ago. God's redemption. Had they carried over Exodus 14:31, had they carried over their feeling of euphoria and singing in Exodus 15, things would have been different. Their attitude would have been different. But here they are. What shall we drink? What are we going to do now, Moses? Where are we going to find satisfaction now? Who shall show us any good? 3 days ago, the same people, standing on the shore of the Red Sea, filled with joy unspeakable. They have a zeal for God burning within them. They're praising God, and now they're grumbling and they're unhappy with God. Oh, how quickly the spiritual mood can change. Not only do circumstances change, but all the spiritual mood changes with the circumstances, and that should not be. 3 days ago, they were standing on the shore of the Red Sea, singing to the glory of God, but look at them now. And they murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" There they are, filled with disappointment and frustration. Distress has come upon them. There's fear, there's pessimism, there's grief. Floods their soul, and their faith in God is gone. It's evaporated. And the people murmured, "What shall we drink?" What they're saying is, "Moses, we saw that water off in a distance, and we hope to quench our thirst here, but we can't drink this water. What do you expect us to do now, Moses?" Imagine, had they carried with them Exodus 14:31, it would have been different. They would have come to Marah with the attitude, "Moses, we hope to quench our thirst here. We can't drink this water. But our God who dried up the Red Sea just 3 days ago, He's able. He's able." That would have been their attitude had they carried it over. But they didn't. "God can produce a fountain," would have been their attitude. Had they carried with them to Marah their redemption experience, they would have come to Marah with the attitude, "We hope to quench our thirst here, but we cannot drink this water. But our God who made a path through the Red Sea, He can make a path for waters to come to us." Their attitude would have been different. And I'm here to tell you today that attitudes would be different if we would just carry over the bliss into the difficulty. Amen. We would look at it completely different. Amen. So what, they didn't carry it over, and what happened? They became controlled by Marah. They became governed by Marah. You see it all the time. We're all guilty to some degree. But you see it all the time. God's people go from bliss into difficulty. And all of a sudden the difficulty controls their life. And they're not content with it just controlling their life. They want to make sure you know about it. And they want to make sure it controls your life also. And then God brings them deliverance. And it's, "Oh, praise God. I'm so thankful." Give it a couple hours. It'll be like it never happened. They fail to carry it over into the next difficulty. Because being saved does not exempt us from Marah. But what attitude are we carrying into Marah? Are we carrying with us Exodus 14:31? So here they are now at Marah, and they're under the control of their circumstances. It's like looking in the mirror. It really is. Then we see the bliss. While Israel was murmuring in verse 24, we read in verse 25, see, Moses, he carried over. Moses cried unto the Lord. And in response, the Lord showed him, Moses, a tree. And no doubt God instructed Moses to cut down the tree and to cast it into the water. And notice, which when he, Moses, had cast into the waters, the bitter waters, were made sweet. The tree soaked up the bitterness and dispensed sweetness. A miraculous transformation has taken place, and the people are once again brought into a state of bliss. Oh, this is wonderful. This is so wonderful. And then notice verse 27, they go from there, they come to Elim, and there's 12 wells of water there. There's 70 palm trees, there's 70 palm trees, and they encamp there by the waters. Everything is bliss. This is living. But then they go back to the barrenness of the wilderness. The sin is not going back to the barrenness of the wilderness. The sin is the attitude you bring into the wilderness as a result of a failure to carry with you the time of bliss. How many times people said, oh, I'll never doubt God again. Oh, yes, you will. Yes, we will. Oh, I'll never complain again. Yes, you will. Just give it a little time. Some people, 5 minutes will do. One phone call will do. One difficulty, that'll do it. See, and God puts these things in our life to test us. And God is so good that He just blesses us over and over. You and I would say, forget it. Exodus 16, verse 1, and they took their journey from Elim, that place of refreshment, that place of bliss. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin. So they journey from Elim and are now between Elim and Sinai in a place called the wilderness of Sin. And from Exodus 16, verse 1, it has been 30 days since they have been miraculously redeemed from Egypt. Since they were redeemed from the cruel rule of Pharaoh. And here they are, now led by God into this wilderness. And once again, the resources are depleted. Come to verse 2, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured. Oh, had they carried over. They already failed to carry over Exodus 14:31 into Marah. Now they have failed to carry over God turning the bitter water sweet, and God giving them all those days at Elim to enjoy the palm trees and enjoy the water, and they failed to carry that into this wilderness of sin. And once again, they have lack, and they murmured. Verse 3, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. And then they began to recreate history. Oh, we had it good in Egypt. We ate in Egypt. We had bread to the full. And Moses, we had it so good in Egypt. And you've brought us out here. And there's no water. There's no bread. At the Red Sea in Marah, they were shown the presence of God. At the Red Sea and at Marah, they were shown that God can. At the Red Sea and Marah, they were shown that God cares. At the Red Sea and Marah, they were shown the faithfulness of God. They were shown the sufficiency of God. They were shown that God is their resource. They were shown that
there is provision in God, that they were to have absolute dependence upon God. They were shown there that there are glorious possibilities that existed because of God. But they failed to carry any of it over. And now, once again, they're in a place of difficulty and they murmur because they failed to carry it over. I can almost hear God saying, every time He brings us to a place of bliss, now listen to me. Carry this over into the next day of your life. Do you hear me? Carry this over. Carry this experience over here. But we don't. Time we get over here, what happened here is like it never happened. It never happened. And people will say such things as, well, I know God can, but... In other words, I know God can, but let me explain to you why He isn't going to, or why He can't in this situation. So verse 3, they're saying to Moses and Aaron, your deliverance of us has put us into a place where we cannot survive. We can't live this way. They have forgotten their experience of God's ability. God's ability to care for them. God's ability to provide for them. They have forgotten the experience of God's wisdom, God's power, God's goodness, God's love, God's faithfulness that He had toward them. It was like those things never happened. They have failed to carry over that experience to the next. And now they say with anger, in exasperation, why have you brought us out here to die? Why? And they began to long for Egypt. Began to long for Egypt. Remember in Egypt, they said, oh God, get us out of Egypt. Oh God, we don't have any life here in Egypt. We're mistreated in Egypt. We're miserable in Egypt. Oh God, please get us out of here. And it's like people today. Oh God, if you'll just do this, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. No, you won't. No, you won't. But that's what now they're saying. This very same people are saying, Moses, why'd you bring us out of Egypt? We want to go back there. We had it so good there. Their hearts and minds are back in Egypt. Their attitude is far, far away from God because of a failure to carry with them their experience of God. They are now once again under the control of their circumstances. There are people, whatever difficulty comes into their life, however that life, you can mark it down, however long that difficulty lasts, they will be under the control of it for that length of time. And then another difficulty is going to come because that's the way life is. And guess what? They're going to be right back there. Oh, I learned my lesson. I learned my lesson back there. Well, it's short-lived most of the time. But hear God in verse 4. I will rain bread from heaven. All the mercy and grace of God. God's people murmur. God's people complain. God's people are governed by circumstances. And God says, I will. Verse 11 and 12, God did the miraculous. He rained bread down upon them. And now they're in bliss. Oh, this is great. Oh, Lord, so good to us. Look at all this bread. We'll remember this forever. Then you come to Exodus 17. They come to Rephidim. And we read, there was no water. Huh. Sound familiar? That's what we read back in Marah. Had the people carried that with them and say, hey, you know what? We've seen this before. Remember back in Marah? We didn't have any water there. The waters were undrinkable. Remember what God did? But no, that's like it never happened. Never happened. They found no water, and what did they do? They murmured. They complained. Because they failed to carry the miraculous experience of God with them, they have the same response. And the people murmured. And the people murmured. And God convicts us. And we pray, Lord, forgive me for complaining. Lord, help me not to complain. And that's a good prayer. But what you need to really pray is, Lord, you were so good to me back here. You provided water. You provided bread. Lord, cause me to remember those things. Let me not forget those things. And if you fix that, you have fixed your murmuring. But there's a failure to carry it over. And we're all guilty to one degree or another. Some, they, like Israel, that this is how they live their life. Been doing it for decades now. There was no water. Looking at these events, you know, and God would provide water. And God gave them victory over the Amalekites. And once again, they were in a state of bliss, and the cycle continues. So as you look at these events, we see a frightening cycle. One that that way too often mirrors ourselves. Because we fail to carry our miraculous experiences of God into the places of trial. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be trials. There's going to be difficulties. But how we respond to those things depends on whether or not we carry over with us what we've learned of God. How many times people get blessed in a church service and say, "Oh, that was wonderful. I've seen it happen." They leave Sunday morning. "Oh, that was great. I'm revived." Sunday night, they're calling me, telling me how bad life is. Just in a matter of a few hours. That was Israel. It's a fearful cycle. We find ourselves controlled. We find ourselves paralyzed by trying circumstances. It's because we failed to carry over the blissful times. And don't say, "Well, God's never blessed me that way." Don't be a fool. God has blessed you time and time and time again. Don't be ignorant. Remember those times and carry them over into the place of difficulty. And God brings us to a place of difficulty, and by His miraculous hand, He gets us through it. And that is to prepare us for the next one. But we fall into this cycle and it's like it never happened. It never happened. How many church services if we were to think about it, since we've been saved, how many church services we've sat in, how many sermons we've heard, and for the most part, it's like it never happened. In many lives, it's like it never happened because they've forgotten all about it. God, help us not to forget. God, help us to remember what God can do. And then when we're faced with that difficulty, I'm preaching to myself as much as anyone else because we're all guilty. Then when we're faced with that difficulty, we can say, "You know what? I remember back then. And God did such and such. He can do that again." We need to just trust God. We just need to trust the Lord. But what happens The people turned on Moses, and the people would turn on one another, and that's what happens. Times of difficulty, people turn on one another because they failed to carry with them. Somebody needs to stand up and have enough spirituality to say, hey, remember back at Marah? Remember back at the Red Sea what God did? He can do that again. We need to trust Him. You say that to a lot of people today, they're going to get mad. Well, you don't understand my problems. Don't get mad about it. Rejoice that you have a God that can bring you through. So God help us to remember. We have a memory problem. We remember things that we shouldn't remember, and we forget things that we ought to remember. And we need to remember what God has done. We need to remember our experiences of God and rejoice that we have a God that we can depend upon. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry will lead us
number 500
in singing.